Good morning. Welcome to the First Baptist Church of Logan. I'm glad you're all here. Marcella's glad.
She's even moved back to her old seat. That's how good she's feeling.
Amen. We have a couple announcements. Aaron wants to meet with the ladies after church. Number two, we'd like to have a church council meeting next Sunday before Sunday school. And I know that might please some of you, but you know, it's either that or have it at another time. It just seems easiest to have it a little early on a Sunday. But I assume you know who you are. If you don't, you can ask me after church. But church council meeting 9:15 next Sunday. That'll give us 30 minutes. 9:15. Any other announcements? Well, let's get our hearts and minds ready to worship God. Amen? You sound excited. You all need that prep, don't you? Let's get ready. Smile. Gina's here. Everybody smile. Gina's going to quit coming if I don't quit picking at her, ain't she? She just made a face like, you're right, buddy. I pick at people I like, Gina.
Best case, I've been calling
all. That's right. I pick at White all the time. Let's sit and let's get our hearts and minds ready to worship. We'll go to the Lord in prayer. Before we do, I'm going to say that Ray's here too. Hey, Ray. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for just the privilege it is to be here today. We're so glad that everyone's here, Father, that we can come together and we can worship together. We can fellowship, we can kid, we can laugh, we can encourage one another, we can pray for one another. And Father, I just pray for our church, our congregation. I pray, Lord, that as we walk in this journey, that as we said in Sunday school, we'll be focused, we'll have urgency, and we'll begin it all with prayer. May we all be praying, Lord, daily. May we be praying for one another, our church, our VBS. May we be praying, Lord, that each and every day, whether we're in a time of blessing or a time of trial, or a time of tribulation, a time of illness, a time of a good relationship, a time of a struggle, that we would be glorifying you, that we would be growing in the grace and knowledge of our Savior, that we would be pursuing to be obedient, not because of a requirement upon us, Lord, but because we love Jesus Christ. Father, bless us today. May our service be pleasing unto you. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Call to worship this morning is Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 30. We finish up the 11th chapter of Hebrews today. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 30. We continue talking about faith. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they had been encircled for 7 days. By faith, Rahab the prostitute did not perish with those who were disobedient, because she had given a friendly welcome to the spies. And what more shall I say? For time would fail me to tell of Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, of David and Samuel and the prophets, who through faith conquered kingdoms, enforced justice, obtained promises, stopped the mouth of lions, quenched the power of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, and were made strong out of weakness, became mighty in war, put foreign armies to flight. Women received back their dead by resurrection. Some were tortured, refusing to accept release so that they might rise again to a better life. Others suffered mockings and floggings and even chains and imprisonment. They were stoned. They were sawn in two. They were killed with the sword. They went about in skins of sheep and goats, destitute, afflicted, mistreated, of whom the world was not worthy, wandering about in deserts and mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. All of these, though commended through their faith, did not receive what was promised, since God had provided something better for us, that apart from us, they should not be made perfect. Let us pray. Father, please bless the reading of your words. As we hear your word, Lord, may our hearts and minds be convicted and instructed by the Holy Spirit. May we receive the words, Lord, to grow and be edified in Christ. May I speak the things you would have me to say, Lord, to that end. We pray in Christ's name and amen. Having heard the word of God, let's turn to hymn number 502. Let's stand if we're able, and let's sing 502 together.
Tis so sweet. Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus, just to take Him at His word, just to rest upon His promise, just to know the strength of the Lord. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust Him, how I prove Him o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust Him more. Just to trust His cleansing blood, just in simple faith to plunge beneath the healing cleansing flood. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust Him, how I prove Him o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust Him more. Yes, it's sweet to trust in Jesus, just from sin and self to cease, just from Jesus simply taking life.
Be seated. Amen. It is sweet to trust in Jesus. Our readings from the scriptures you have in your bulletin, we're going to turn to Proverbs chapter 14. Proverbs chapter 14, verses 8 through 15. We should know what we believe and why. It's important to study the scriptures. It's important to read the scriptures together. Proverbs 14, from the ESV Study Bible, I've put a little blurb in there to help us to think about what we're going to read. It says, this section is framed by verses that contrast the approach of the prudent with that of fools and the simple. It is prudent to recognize that appearances can be deceptive. A person's exterior versus the state of their heart, the solidity of their house versus the tent, and a way that seems right, and that whatever the appearance, the path of one's life has consequences consistent with how it's walked. And we can all see this in our life, in the life of the church, in the life of our communities, in the world, that there is a path to walk. There's a path of wisdom, and there's the path of fools. There's the path of the wise. There's the path of the simple. There's this, and you can see it all around us today, where we've neglected God and His principles. It just brings such harm upon us, our lives, and the people around us. So often we argue about theology. We argue about the Bible. We argue about the principles of God as if they're neutral, as if, you know, it's just this, well, do it this way or this way, but there's a consequence to what we do, isn't there? And so let's hear what Proverbs says from the scripture itself. Verse 8. The wisdom of the prudent is to discern his way, but the folly of the fools is deceiving. Fools mock at the guilt offering. It is fools that mock Jesus Christ and the ways of God. But the upright enjoy acceptance. The heart knows its own bitterness, and no stranger shares its joy. The house of the wicked will be destroyed, but the tent of the upright will flourish. There is a way that seems right to man, but its end is the way to death. What seems right to us isn't always right. God's ways are not ours. Even in laughter, the heart may ache, and in the end of joy may be grief. The backslider in heart will be filled with the fruit of his ways, and a good man will be filled with the fruit of his ways. The simple believes everything, but the prudent gives thoughts to his steps. And all the people said, Amen. Let's stand, if we're able, once again to sing hymn number 374. 374, The Longer I Serve Him, the Sweeter It Grows. 374. may be seated. Would our ushers please come forward? Would you bow your heads, please? Father, it is absolutely true that the longer we serve you, the sweeter it grows. We serve you in many ways, Father, and when one way we serve is by giving back to you from the tremendous blessings that you bestow upon us. As we give back to you today, Lord, we ask that you would bless this offering, that you would bless us, Lord, in the sense that we feel joy as we give to you out of love and out of gratitude. We ask, Lord, that you would bless it for your glory, for the good of our church and the spread of your gospel. In Christ's name and amen. Be seated. Faith from victory unto death. We come to the final chapter, or the final part of this chapter on faith. This is often called the Hall of Faith. I've heard also some call it the Hall of Works. And you can see why, because in every instance where faith is talked about, we see that faith manifesting itself in the lives of people and in the way they serve God. And the question maybe I would want to ask this morning is there circumstances in life which faith is not required for the believer? Is there any circumstances in our life where faith is not required? Well, of course, the answer is no. And we would all, I'm assuming you all said no immediately. You didn't have to think about that very long. But do we live our life in that way? Do we live our life like faith is required in every single circumstance? What do I mean by that? Well, if faith is trust, if faith is not merely intellectually, I really believe it's a big problem for all of us that when we think of faith, we've been programmed to think of, I believe there's a Jesus. I believe Jesus died on the cross. I believe he rose again. You know, Satan believes that and knows it, and it's not going to help him. So we don't want to think that. We don't want that to be merely what we think. And oftentimes I think we're programmed that way. And we're not thinking of every single circumstance in life. I should be trusting the promises of God. How I'm a father, how I'm a husband, how I in my vocation, in how I serve the church. However it is, I need faith. But it's not only in these everyday things, it's to accomplish things for God, isn't it? How can we reach Logan for Jesus Christ? Now, maybe you don't think Logan needs reached. It does. And I'm not because of maybe some of the things that may first come to mind. Maybe we think of someone who's down on their luck. Maybe we think of someone that doesn't know how to behave as we think they should behave. Maybe the people that come to mind is that type of person. But would it make any difference in hell how much money you had? Would it make any difference what kind of clothes you wore? Would it make any difference how much education? Would it make any difference? Would any of these things make a big difference? No. So there's plenty of wealthy people in Logan that are lost, just as there's people who may walk the street without a home that are lost. And we are to, as a church, have a mission and a commission to carry out, don't we? And every circumstance requires faith, but it requires faith to be Christians, to live our life as the people of God. I do not live in isolation. We live together, don't we? We're part, if we're believers, we're part of the people of God. Just like they did in the Old Testament, we do in the New. We're to live together. We're to carry out this mission together. And every circumstance requires faith. And if we want to reach people, we're going to have faith. We're not going to have faith in ourselves. We're going to have faith in God. That God will use us because we're being obedient, because we're doing His will, because we're those things, that we can reach people. So we've talked already how we need faith in worship, don't we? We need faith in fellowship. We need faith in obedience in general. We need faith in long-suffering as we're patient in waiting on God. We need faith in the promises of God we talked about last week. And because we have all of that, because we have those things, and these things kind of build on one another, isn't it? The Christian life's no different than learning music or learning a sport or getting an education to where you don't start at the end. I said in Sunday school, and Miss Mackney, who's probably said this when I was in third grade, and she's visited us at times with Catherine and Dylan, but you know, I can't drill a hole in your head and pour the information in. And we don't start the Christian life at the end of the journey or already fully developed. We have to learn and grow, just like you would if you wanted to learn music. You got to first learn some notes, and you got to learn and you build over time. If you're learning a sport or you're an athlete, you grow and you get better. And that's what we are as Christians, and that comes through faith, isn't it? It begins with faith, but the journey is faith, right? It's this trust of God. So because we have faith in our worship, our fellowship, our obedience, our long-suffering in God's promises, then we know we can do His will and accomplish things in our life. And we see this in verse 30. It'd help if I get back over to Hebrews. I was confused there for a minute. Verse 30, by faith the walls of Jericho fell down after they had been encircled for 7 days. And often maybe you want to focus on how did God accomplish that. And I think it is fascinating. Most likely an earthquake or something like that was used to bring those walls down. But it doesn't change the point in that the people of God were victorious, weren't they? God was behind this coincidence, if you want to call it that. They're marching on the wall playing a horn, and an earthquake happens and the walls fall down. Why were they in this situation? They were supposed to go over into the promised land earlier, but they did not because they doubted, didn't they? Didn't they stand at the promised land and Joshua and Caleb were the only ones that said we can do it? And the other spies said, nah, probably not. They're awful big over on that side. And they didn't go in, and they wandered the wilderness for how long? 40 years. You know, people, faith is not this tool that God is offering you that you can use or that's optional. Our faith, He's the author and finisher of our faith. Our faith is what brings us into relationship with Christ and with Him. Our faith is what we live out our life, and it's faith, through faith, that there is victory. That we can conquer and overcome, can't we? When they doubted God and they didn't have the faith, they wandered for 40 years. There's plenty of churches and Christians who claim to be part of the people of God. Maybe they are, maybe they aren't. But they're wandering, aren't they? They wander through life. They don't have victory. They're not conquering their sin. They're not conquering in their relationships. They're not seeing the walls fall before them as they go to do the will of God. Why? Because they're not doing the will of God, because, or they're not exercising that faith. Now, when I say that, I'm not talking about this quantity thing, am I? I don't want you to be confused, because a lot of pastors talk about faith in a quantity. If you have enough of it, you get what you want. That's not what we're saying. I'm talking about, who are you trusting in? And if you're trusting in God, you're believing His promises, you're seeking to do His will, then the walls will fall, won't they? And we won't wander in the wilderness. Now, it may not be the wall you wanted to fall. The Israelites were where God wanted them to be. See, they wanted to not go in because the giants were too big and they wandered. The blessing came when they got on God's program and in His will, wasn't it? And they had victory. And we are always victorious when we trust in God. Do you realize that? We're always victorious. So say I want to do better at evangelism. And I go out to evangelize. And I talk to a fella. And after a couple minutes, I see that he doesn't want to listen to me and he doesn't care. So I move on. The Holy Spirit's not working. And I go to another person. And I've done that for days, weeks, months, or years. And nobody ever listens to me. Am I a failure? No. Why? Because I've been obedient to God. I'm seeking His will. And who knows what seed might be planted in that or what purpose He may have. So in God, I'm always victorious. Always, every situation, if I'm in His will. He cannot and does not fail. Do you all need encouragement in your life today? I think you're lying through your teeth if you say no. We all do. We've got kids maybe that we don't get along with. Grown kids, I mean. If they live in your house, then that's a different story. Maybe we got grown kids we don't get along with. Maybe we got parents we don't get along with. Maybe we got employers. Or maybe we're oppressed in some way. Maybe we struggle with our vocation. Maybe we struggle, you're struggling in your marriage. Maybe, you know, we just don't know. But don't we all need to know that we can overcome these things? We can have victory. Maybe it's sin. Maybe you have a sin in your life that you really struggle. Maybe it's lust. Maybe it's a desire for something that God is telling you no. You know, Paul says he had a thorn in the flesh. Right? And Paul the apostle now, and all his apostolic ability and blessing, said that he prayed to God and God wouldn't take it away from him. This thorn he had in his flesh, he said. Now, some people speculate it was blindness and all that, but that's not the point. The apostle Paul had something in his life that God said no. He desired one outcome and God said no. And often that way, we're that way. Maybe we want children and God says no. Maybe we want to be married and God says no. Maybe we want to be a brain surgeon and God says no. Maybe we're called to something that we want to quit. And there's something in your heart and mind that you keep going that God says no. You know, we have to seek that He knows best for us. He knew best for them and they didn't listen and they wandered for 40 years and now they come to Jericho and they listen and it seems so silly, don't it? Why does God do the things He does? Why didn't they just pray in the wall fell down? Why did they have to march around 7 times? Why did they have to blow, you know, they marched around once, I guess, the first day, right, and blew the horn, and then it was 2 times, 3 times. And then on the 7th day, 7 times, blew the horn. And the wall, why? It's about this relationship, isn't it? It's about knowing God better. Being saved from hell is a great benefit of being saved. But the purpose of being redeemed is a relationship with God. And you know what? It comes through all these things. It comes through church. It comes through the great food on Wednesday night, amen? It comes through Kid and Gina. I'm going to ask Jenny's forgiveness after the service. It comes through the fellowship and the Sunday school. It comes through all, but it also comes through the troubles and the trials and the struggles and sometimes feels like failures. And maybe it's just me. But you know, and this is a simple sermon. You all can pray for me. I have plenty of sermons that I stand up here and I say, I may say something. One of these days I may say, I'm sorry, I did the best I could Wyatt's going to read a few Psalms and we're going to the house. But you know, I need to be encouraged. I've got problems. There's relationships that could be better. There's struggles. There's desires. There's things I know I need to do that I don't want to do, just like Paul says. But I know I can have victory. There's sin. Maybe there's sin that plagues us that we want to commit. Maybe we're not giving into it, but it just is just. We can have victory over those things. He doesn't fail us, and our failure is because is our flawed and limited perspective, isn't it? We really have a flawed and limited perspective if we're not listening to God and we're not listening to the promises He's made. And it's hard time sometimes for me to accept, but God wants us to be uncomfortable people. God wants us to struggle. He wants us, and this is going to bother you, He wants us to hurt. He let Job hurt. He let Paul have a thorn in his side. Why? Because it's in those darkness that we cry out to Him. It's in that darkness that we're strengthened. You know, I've never known anybody that said they become a good football player by not playing football. Have you? I mean, we could ask Darren here, but I know the answer. I'm sure he has plenty of kids that think they're going to be professional athletes by not playing baseball. But I doubt it. Seriously. We're not going to grow in the likeness of Christ if we don't live for God and we don't face those trials. There's the passage in Philippians that says, I want to know the power of His resurrection. And I've told you about Dr. Wilmington at Liberty saying he had that on his wall when he first went to seminary. I want to know the power of His resurrection. And his roommate said, you need to put the rest of that verse up there. Because right after that it says, and the fellowship of His suffering. Right? We're going to have to struggle through. And you hear this in business sometimes. They talk about embracing the problems. I'm not going to use some of the words they use, but you know, you embrace the issue. You embrace the trial. You embrace this bad feeling, you know, and that is true. And it's like that. I use sports because in sports we can identify, hopefully, or maybe it's music or something you've attempted. The practice isn't always fun, people. The work, the heartache, the hurt, it's the ending, isn't it? And that's the way God works with us in this relationship. And if you really want to grow in Christ, there's no magical verse. In that sense, you know what I mean. There's no magical pattern of prayer. There's no, you know, and you hear different, you know, oh, we pray in this way, pray this. And it is simply every day seeking God, trusting His promises, praying, fellowshipping, listening to the Word, living amongst the people of God, isn't it? That you can have victory. And we see what He did when they trusted. Verse 31, by faith Rahab the prostitute did not perish with those who were disobedient because she had given a friendly welcome to the spies. You know, I like, you can go back and read the story of Rahab. Some people look at Rahab as a traitor, wouldn't you? Rahab lived in Jericho. And the Israelites were the enemy that were coming to throw down on this city. And they destroyed it and everybody in it. Not because God is unjust, but because they were a very wicked and disobedient people. But this prostitute heard of the Israelites and God, and through the power of the Holy Spirit, she believed. Amen? And you know what's funny about that? I love that story because that was simply God using the people. And they weren't even there. But by them being obedient, they're marching in, they're conquering. She hears of that. And the Holy Spirit uses that. All we have to do is be what? Obedient. She didn't have 12 steps to saving people. She didn't have, you know, the latest Bible tract. She simply believed. And you know what? She acted accordingly. But you know what? It is never wrong to be loyal to God against people who are disobedient. You know, I love my nation. I would serve and die for it if I was called to. But I cannot side with the people that's trying to tear it down, and that are disobedient and ugly. And Rahab saw that her city was an evil city, and she aligned herself with God. But this is, we had faith in victory. This is faith into salvation, isn't it? This is, so in the first case, you're conquering something, facing victory. But this one is what? Being delivered from sin, being delivered, being saved. And this is a salvation that produces what? Good works. Goes real well with our passage in James. And James in chapter 2, I think, mentions Rahab, doesn't he? When we went through that book. And how Rahab was saved by how? How was Rahab saved? You know, I know we all want to protect certain aspects of the gospel. But how was Rahab saved? Who worked in Rahab's heart? God. Rahab was saved by grace. Was there a means? Yes. But outside of the working of God through His Holy Spirit, Rahab is lost. Grace. God saved Rahab. And Rahab responded, and Rahab was obedient. So Rahab was staking her future on who? I think it's very important in our day. What are you staking your future on? Not only the future of eternity, until we die. What is your future based on? What was Rahab's? What would have been the easiest in her mind? And you know what? You think this wasn't an act of faith? You got a ragtag bunch of nomad people who aren't military equipped like Jericho would have been. When you're living in a city with walls that have been proven to be unassailable, they had no reason to fear the Israelites. And this old world today thinks they have no reason to have fear of God or the people of God. And it may seem there's no way that God turns anything around. But Rahab believed differently. Rahab staked her future on what? On what little she knew about God and His promises. She said, that's where I'm putting my faith. That's who I'm going to rely on. What is your future relying on? You know, a lot of our families and children and our society has gone the wrong way because we staked our future on the wrong things. We're believing it's merely an education or merely being a doctor or merely pursuing some route, merely fame, selfies on Instagram, whatever, is somehow going to bring us happiness, joy, or fulfillment. Rahab staked her future on a belief in God. How many would respect a harlot that trusted in God? Often our respect is based on other things, isn't it? Yet she was saved, and who else was saved because of Rahab? Her family. Her family was saved. You know, what we do, people, affects more than us. She becomes part of the people of God. She marries Solomon, and she gives birth to who? Boaz. And Boaz leads to who? David. And David leads to Christ. How God can use those of faith. Faith in victory, faith in salvation. But we got to have faith in just a myriad of circumstances. He says, what more shall I say? And trusting back says, amen. What more can you say? He says, what more should I say or shall I say? For time would fail me to tell. He's saying there is so much. There is not enough time to tell about the wonderful works of God. To tell of Gideon, who defeated tens of thousands with 300 men. Barak. Samson. And you say, Samson? Didn't Samson have issues? Didn't Samson let a woman, straighten up ladies, deceive him? Straighten up, fellas. But Samson did what? At the end of his life, he turned to God. It says he did more there at the end than he did through his life. Jephthah. And I don't have time to unpack that one, but Jephthah's the one that prayed that God would give him victory, and he did, but he promised that he would sacrifice the first thing he came upon after the victory in honor of God, and the first thing was his daughter. It's a difficult passage, and we can't go into that, but he's mentioned here for his faith. Of David and Samuel the prophet, who through faith conquered kingdoms. Listen to what they did. Through faith, conquered kingdoms, enforced justice, obtained promises. And we know he goes into people not mentioned by name. Stopped the mouths of lions. That's who? Daniel. Quenched the power of fire. Who was that? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego quenched the power of fire, didn't they? Through faith. Escaped the edge of the sword. Were made strong out of weakness. Became mighty in war. Put foreign armies to flight. Women received back their death by resurrection. We got the stories of Elijah and Elisha. Faith in circumstances, people. Despite all their circumstance, they persevered to the end, didn't they? Gideon was just a farmer. Barak needed the assurance and strength that he found in Deborah. Samson is a good example of the discipline of God, but also the example of perseverance, isn't he? See, you might, it's sad for what Samson did, but I find him very encouraging. And so what do you think of this? Maybe you're okay. Maybe you say, well, great. This isn't very exciting, but please get to the end. But you know, I think why all this matters is because faith is not what we always take it to be, or maybe we're not living in faith. And so we say amen to all these things, but we have in our mind that if we have that faith, all these examples, it turned out well in our book, right? Even Samson, who disobeyed and was disobedient, and he was disciplined harshly, wasn't he? That's always spooky to me. I heard somebody tell me recently that's in a sinful situation. Jesus understands my sin. Well, guess what? He disciplined David. Took a child. David had problems the rest of his life with his family. He disciplined Solomon. He disciplined Moses. And Samson was taken captive and had his eyes put out. And he lived the rest of his days as a slave. Don't think Jesus understands your sin. He's not going to discipline you. But we always want to think in all those cases what happened. In our earthly view, it was good for them in the end. And so we say it's worth it to hang in there. And I can hang in there because it'll be better for me in the end, earthly. But then the Bible says something that I rarely hear sermons preached on, and I don't hear any prosperity people on TV talking about. Because it says in the middle of verse 35, some were tortured, refusing to accept release. So they were tortured, and they were supposed to recant. They were supposed to throw God under the bus, so to speak. They were supposed to confess in false gods, and they would not. Why? It says they refused to accept release, meaning to be turned loose from the torture and not suffer death, so that they might rise again to what? A better life. Your best life is never now. Do y'all hear me? It's never now. My best life is always going to be in the future, isn't it? It doesn't mean I can't have a fruitful life now. But that they might rise again. Could you do that? Could you be tortured even unto death? And maybe you say, yeah, maybe you're just, well, I don't think I'll have to face that. Hey, we never know in this day. I know of my own volition. I don't, you know, there's a good chance not. But through faith in God, we can do all things from He who strengthens me. We often hear that voice in sports, use it a lot. I can do all things. We're going to win the Super Bowl. And that ain't what it's talking about. That verse is alluding to this type of thing. I can do all things through Christ. Verse 36, others suffered mockings and floggings and even chains and imprisonment. They were stoned. They were sawn in two. You hearing me? Mockings? Okay. Floggings? Chains and imprisonment. And maybe to this point you think, verse 37, they were stoned. They were sawn in two. They were killed with the sword. They went about in skins of sheep and goats, destitute, afflicted, and mistreated. We think God won't discipline us when He will allow us to suffer these things for His name's sake. If He will allow me to suffer this for His glory, you don't think He will allow me to suffer things for indiscipline? And I know this probably spooks us all. And we can act all brave about it all we want. None of us wants to face this, do we? No. Not enough of ourselves, but shouldn't we be praying every day like verse 35, refusing to accept release so that they might rise again to a better life? If you've never read Fox Books of Martyrs and some of those books that chronicles people who were martyred for Christ and the things they said, man, it's amazing. The things and the strength that they had through their faith in God as they were tortured, burned alive, all those things. You know? But this is what we got to be doing. And doesn't it make you feel a little bit ashamed? Because we feel sorry for ourselves and say, yeah, brother, but you don't understand the problems I've got. Nobody's tried to saw me in two here lately. Right? Kind of makes me feel a little ashamed of myself, ain't it? When you think about your relationship problems, or you think about the dinner didn't turn out right, or the boss is a knucklehead, you know, whatever it is. You know, this is tough stuff here, isn't it? Faith in death. God deals with us in different ways, and some do not meet what we would call victory, do they? But this is exactly what Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were alluding to. When the king said, we're going to fire at the band. You bow down or we're going to throw you in the furnace. And they said, the Lord, our God can deliver us, O king. But even if He don't, we're not bowing down. And they were saying, we may not be delivered in the way you think. But we're getting delivered one way or the other, right? And they were delivered in a way that was a witness to Nebuchadnezzar. But even if they had burned up, they would have been delivered. And it would have been used to the glory of God. Our ways are not God's ways, are they? And I think this has so crippled the church today. It's about our comfort. It's about our entertainment. It's about, are my kids having a good time? And, you know, we come to church and maybe some people believe we don't have the best music, or maybe they don't believe, you know, blah, 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 blah. You know, I wouldn't trade it for anything. It's not these, you know, what His ways are just not our ways, are they? They're not. Not all people of faith are delivered miraculously. Tortured, mocking, scourging, stoned, sewn in half, slain with the sword, wandered, destitute, afflicted, tormented. But I want you to read what it says in verse 38. And who wouldn't want this said of them, of whom the world was not worthy? You know, this old world thinks the people of God and Jesus Christ is not worthy of them. But the Bible says the opposite. The Bible says this world is not worthy of those who are truly believers and followers in Jesus Christ. Amen? This world's not worthy. wandering about in deserts and mountains and dens and caves of the earth. And all of these, though commended through their faith, did not receive what was promised. This was before Jesus, wasn't it? Since God had provided something better for us, that apart from us, they should not be made perfect. True faith is always in Christ. The absence of earthly deliverance does not mean a lack of faith. In all these things, God was glorified, and they were conformed to Jesus. Amen? Faith looks to the future. And what's important to remember is what? Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, we read at the first of this chapter study, and without faith, it is impossible to please Him. You can't please God without faith. And this type of faith. Whoever would draw near to Him must believe that He exists, and He rewards those who diligently seek Him. People, it's about relationship. We must increase our faith through what? Word, prayer, fellowship, service. Faith comes by hearing. Hearing comes from the Word of God. And it has to be through the words of God. And it's a relationship. And I don't know, it's hard for me to express this and get it into words. But as I'm closing, this is what the Christian life is about. It's not about everything you're going your way. It's not about that you won't ever sin. Samson sinned, he repented. Right? It's about a people living for God. Flawed and all. Seeking to increase that faith, trusting Him. Faith is not some special holier Christian. Faith is not some magic lamp that gets you what you want, as this passage tells us. But it is a necessity for all Christians that not only we are saved by faith, we've got to what? The just shall live by faith. You got to live by faith. And so we see this chapter, and the Reformed Expositionary Commentary has, he likened this chapter. He said, you know, if you go to Gettysburg and you see what they have set up there, they have the battlefield there presents, they have a panorama depicting what took place on that battlefield. And he likened this chapter to that. It's a Christian war memorial, where you're looking at these different scenes, whether it's Abel, Abraham, Sarah, Rahab, David, and then all these it mentioned that died for the Father, for Christ. And it's like a battlefield. And when you go to a battlefield, are you encouraged? Well, I mean, away you are. You're encouraged by their sacrifice, aren't you? You're concerned of what they did and the heroism. Now, maybe in our day some people aren't, but I always have been. Not that I'm glad over the war or anything like that, but you get what I'm saying. Well, we're at war. We've got to put on the armor of God, and one of those things is faith. There's the hymn, and I'm going to close, but in your own time. Read the hymn, "When I Survey the Wondrous Cross." I was going to read it to you, but I'm not. Read the hymn, and you think upon those words, and you pray over Scripture, and what it means to follow Jesus. When I survey the wondrous cross, what Jesus did for me, I owe Him everything, even my life. Amen? Amen. And the good news is, it's the only way that leads to true, lasting joy and happiness. Let's stay and let's turn to hymn number 448, "Before the Throne of God." And let's sing 448. "Before the Throne of God." Please stand if you're able. Writer of Hebrews encouraging a group of the people of God not to turn away has given a lot of instruction. And as he came to this chapter, he wanted to give them the examples that they could hold up, that it can be done. And it's possible, right? And it's possible for us. So let's be encouraged. Let's be encouraged of what we can do and accomplish at First Baptist Logan. Amen? Amen. Let's evidently sing. No, let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord. I pray that the grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the love of you, God our Father, and the blessed communion of the Holy Spirit be with us now and forever. And amen.